What's going on, everybody? Another edition of 3 Wide with EG3 begins right now. What's up? Welcome to another edition. Y'all know what time it is. The garage is open one more time for the 3 Wide with EG3, Eddie Gritter III, host of the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And today is Wednesday, August 8th, 2018, and tonight, this is the From Pit Road edition of the podcast. For those of you who don't know what that is, tuning in for the very first time, From Pit Road edition is all about, I'm taking a look at, throughout the season, the latest teams who compete in between all the divisions of motor sports. And tonight, coming off of a thrilling weekend, history-making weekend, Hendrick Motorsports and the Monster Energy Cup Series. We will focus on them tonight and pretty much all the momentum, all the talk. Well, obviously, Chase Elliott bringing home his first win in his Cup career. The former Xfinity champ getting it done in a thrilling battle with the defending champion of the series, Martin Truex Jr. Elliott finally erasing the demons last week and coming up clutch late in the race, where pretty much, in my opinion, he had the best car in the field. Yes, I know Kyle Busch, in Kyle Busch fashion, said he had the best car. But Chase Elliott getting it done, handing Rick Hendrick, finally, win number 250. And you know we're not going to recap all those wins, but there has been some key moments in the Hendrick Motorsports history. And I've been listening to, of course, my usual podcast up until this point so far. And, of course, 2004 comes to mind. The horrifying accident outside of the Martinsville Speedway during the playoffs back then. And then, of course, Jimmy's hot run. I still remember that to this day. Of course, you know, the super team. Rick Hendrick's had it all. And listening to ironically, this week was on Monday, listening to Nate Ryan's piece on Rick Hendrick. He is a collector of cars. There are certain things I didn't know about Rick Hendrick, but I'm not going to get to all of that. But you have to listen to Nate Ryan's episode of the NASCAR on NBC podcast to find out what that is. True, that was a good piece. And pretty much, we're going to continue that Hendrick theme here throughout the week here on 3 Wide. As Stage Break Weekly is coming up also later this week, it will focus more on Chase Elliott, the whole extravaganza, if you will, of Chase Elliott right now. It is popping right now. Of course, yes, it's coming off of a bad dark cloud in NASCAR. If you have not heard already, Brian France was arrested over the weekend, charged with a DUI and drug possession. Are you kidding me? Very bad for the sport, and he's taking a leap of absence as well. And yes, I'm with those who saying that he should not even step foot back in NASCAR. That's a complete embarrassment, and I do not want to go off too far off the railroad tracks, but definitely, you're one of the faces of the sport. And pretty much, I mean, I don't know what's been going on with Brian France. Of course, last year I criticized him for basically blowing off the champion, during the award ceremony. I did not like how that went down. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with him, but obviously, it might have came to light over the weekend. Busted DUI and taking a leave of absence, of course, Jim France, for those of you who are not in a loop, is going to be taking over, of course, quote-unquote, interim duties. So we have to see what happens on that end of spectrum, but the talk of the NASCAR world right now is Hendrick Motorsports. And yes, all the attention has been on Chase Elliott, and I kind of mentioned this a little bit on the post-race reaction. If you have not tuned into that, I encourage you to do that. Joined by Mick Rose, and Mick Rose will be a regular on the podcast on Monday night. So definitely love enjoying having him in his perspective, and looking forward to more of those here down the line. Of course, we got MIS this weekend for the Trucks and Cup Series, and then on the other side, second consecutive road course, the Xfinity boys take Mid-Ohio up there where Bill Elliott. Speaking of Elliott, it was a big weekend for the Elliott family. As mentioned, Bill Elliott will ride in GMS number 23 this weekend. I am definitely curious to see what's going to go down with him. A lot of super momentum right now, and stirring it back to the Hendrick Motorsports. We're going to talk about throughout this episode, Hendrick Motorsports obviously coming off that big weekend. They've had drivers, Terry Labonte, Ricky Craven, Jeff Gordon, Casey Kane, of course, Dale Earnhardt Jr. And now, the win by Elliott kind of solidifies, not quite yet, but the youth movement that we've all been talking about since the beginning of this year. The young guys calling out the old guys, and then the old guys' performance. I want to just put old as, that's kind of a little blunt, the veterans of the sport taking over, and then here, you know, Eric Jones winning Daytona a month ago, and then you turn around, you fast forward to a month in advance, Chase Elliott bringing home a victory in that circumstance. And I guess, you know, if you talk about numbers, you know, Ray Lewis in his Hall of Fame speech talked about, is it a coincidence about numbers? Numbers is a funny thing in life, and definitely we look at it, it kind of evolves around my driver, of course, MTJ, of course, Mark Trish, shooting for the second, Eric Jones, in Daytona, for his first win of the Cup Series. Then you fast forward to last week in that epic battle, one of the best finishes of the season, if not for, even with still, with Truex didn't run out of gas, that was going to be a barn burner to the checkered flag, but Truex ran out of gas to six, and that's all she wrote from there. Elliott nearly blowing another opportunity to win this thing, and yes, you're damn right, Chase, he almost blew that, and I was in knots. I'll dive into this more in a Stage Weekly episode here later this week, which you guys will listen to as well, but definitely MTJ on a short of the stick of this one also, so he finished second to this one. So Martin Truex definitely seeing it up close and personal, these young guys getting the win, Eric Jones and Chase Elliott. But Rick Hendrick, the captain of this ship, he's been around the sport a long time, and I didn't know his full name, Joseph Riddick Hendrick III. Wow. I did not know that. Birthplace, he is from, of course, Warrington, North Carolina, born in 1949, hometown, lives in, well, my hometown is Palmer Springs, Virginia, and he has established a lot. He has done so much for this sport, and obviously, we don't, and Rick Hendrick, part of this rejuvenation of the building, you know, trying to turn around this project, you know, having all this veterans, the top-notch veterans of the sport, like a Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr., the Casey Kane experiment, and all everything else. And now you have these young guys. Alex Bowman's been around the sport. He's not a rookie. I mean, a lot of people think maybe forgot that he's not a rookie in the sport. Remember, Alex Bowman was part of that BK Racing whole deal back one time, maybe a few years ago. Should cross out maybe. He was with BK Racing for a few years there. Probably got the attention of Dale Earnhardt Jr. Of course, Alex Bowman has raced with the Dale Jr. Motorsports, who's connected with Hendrick Motorsports as well. Bowman's won the Xfinity Series and looking to still hold on tight to that final precious playoff spot with four races to go in 2018 in the regular season. William Byron coming off an Xfinity Series championship and could have easily won the Truck Series champion if not for engine failure. Byron, a highly talented young man, going to school and doing this whole racing thing, pretty damn talented, if you ask me. Byron, he is really coming to light here in the last several weeks, putting down impressive finishes at Pocono, especially the Glen, where I believe he finished in the 8th position. Of course, the wily veteran, the grandfather of this team now, and the 7-time champion, Jimmy Johnson, also looking for his hunger, not going to quit. He and Chad Knaus trying to figure out what's going to happen and or how to right this ship and get out of it. And right now, you know, and really with them, the pit mistakes have cost them a few races here in the summer. And obviously, the whole one boy wonder from Dawsonville ring them sirens again for Chase Elliott. The momentum train is off the charts from that win, and rightfully so. We've been talking about on this podcast, and along with many other podcasts here for the last, 3 years? You're listening to Three Wide with EG3. That's me speaking to y'all, as usual. Eddie Greer, the third, here with you guys tonight. Chase Elliott, we've talked about this multiple times. Once he gets that first win, all of a sudden, the waterfall is going to, the dam's going to break, and we're going to start seeing him run front more. And it has not been easy, obviously. You know, the whole entire Chevrolet camp going through this new Camaro, and all the talk's been about Kyle Larson being the best Chevy, and he has. Don't get me wrong, he has, but the last 3 or 4 weeks now, that crown has been shifted, in my opinion, to Chase Elliott, winning 3 playoff points in a row, win 3 stages in a row in the last 3 weeks, and of course, you add on the victory at the Glen, holding on against Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, part of that big 3 we've been talking about. So, Elliott, and there was an interesting piece that I listened to about Chase Elliott, and I'm going to save that for the stage break, so I'm going to hold that off. But here at Motorsports right now, turning it around, and like I told on a couple podcasts, like the Lap Traffic podcast, and I told to somebody else also, that MIS this weekend is going to be the ultimate test right here to see what we found out. Obviously, you know, you can't really learn anything with the Pocono's not in the playoffs, the Glen's not in the playoffs, even though we have this unknown, the wild-ass Roval that everybody's anticipating is going to be a shit show. Excuse my language. It's going to be a crazy shit show fest over there. And I've been talking about it on this podcast, and obviously New Hampshire not in the playoffs, but you turn around, you got Richmond in the playoffs for the first time. And we're about to find out in a few days what Hendrick Motorsports got. Point blank. It's simple as that. I mean, Ganassi, they put cars in the top 10 over the weekend with Kyle Larson. McMurray starting to want a little bit better. Is it too little too late for that team? They're outside of the playoff right now. They definitely, desperately need a win. But hey, you know, MIS, you know, let's not all forget, you know, few mile strategy. We have not seen those. I keep bringing that up for whatever reason, but I just got the feeling one of these things, even with the Glen did have few mileage in there. That's for sure. We saw it with the top two going after each other last weekend. But a few mileage game, I'm telling you, MIS is one of those tracks that I said it back in June. The few mileage game is going to play a big factor, and we'll just have to see what happens there. But Hendrick Motorsports, Rick Hendrick, I mean, prior to, again, going back to the episode with Nate Ryan, said that this has been a disappointing season for sure, but things are looking up, and quite so with the performances of these race cars here. And looking at Alex Bowman, his first full-time year with Hendrick Motorsports, of course, we have seen him in sporadic moments, obviously filled in with Dale Earnhardt Jr. last year when he had those concussion issues, or I should probably say the year before that, but whatever year, Alex Bowman, of course, Nationwide, staying with Alex Bowman for a couple more years, signed to stay with Alex Bowman, which was huge for this young man, Alex Bowman, in there as well. Take a look at Alex Bowman real quick, where he is. I talked about it. He's 15th in the original standings right now, and of course, has that last playoff spot. Bowman, through 22 races this year, he has scored 8 top 10s, along with 2 top 5s, has a DNF. He has led 67 laps, and a career best finish, obviously coming at Pocono, of 3rd for this 88 bunch. And kind of well chronicled his story a little bit. Bowman from BK Racing, and then Dale Earnhardt Jr. tagged him to be the driver to replace him while he was recovering from the concussion systems. And then we ragged about him on this podcast. He was going to be the guy to replace Dale Earnhardt Jr. full-time, which he is now. Of course, Greg Ives. This team is starting to put down some decent finishes here and there. Also, it's not like they haven't, but now, you know, the whole thing is now you have to. It was Monroe Quarkle last year that Henrik Motorsports, other than probably Chase Elliott, take him out of the equation. Chase Elliott was running good, but the rest of these guys, like Junior, I believe Casey Kane was on his last rope last year, and Jimmy Johnson, these guys were struggling mildly. And like Roe Cronker, Jimmy struggles last year being the groundhog, and then Casey Kane desperate with that wild card victory, that crash fest at Indianapolis a year ago, still wasn't enough to save his job at Henrik Motorsports. And they have Junior, who did not make the postseason due to injury situation. But, hey, man, it's 88 team. We'll have to see going forward. But they have held their end of the bargain big time. They have helped their own cause as well, and taken advantages of a couple of people's mistakes, like a Stenhouse wrecking the entire field at Daytona. Menard got a charge for a little bit there. Had a terrible finish over the weekend. And then some. So unless we see somebody step up, which it could be an unknown from this point forward. You know, Daniel Suarez calling out a shot. We're going to make the playoffs at MIS, the same track that we're going to a month and a half ago, or actually really a few weeks ago. I can't remember what track that was. I think it was Pocono, but I'm not 100%. I thought it was MIS. I might be wrong, but he caught out a shot. And Suarez came up short at the Glen. So right now, Alex Bowman hanging on to that playoff spot. And we'll just have to see what happens. I know with NASCAR, you never know what's going to happen around the corner. You're listening to 3 Wide, breaking down Henrik Motorsports and where they're at here. We're coming to 4 to go. And 3 of the 4 cars are right now in playoff position. The other car that's not, well, that's William Byron. And Byron, he has come on here as of late. They did not start off the season like they wanted. But Byron, he's really come on to his own. Like I mentioned earlier in this episode, he's still going to school, still doing that school thing, and being impressive in the Cup Series. No questions about it. Byron, he right now is going to be huge for the sport and for this organization as well. For some reason, I can't get what I want on this computer, but I'm going to move forward. But Byron, obviously, 1 year in the trucks, 1 year in Xfinity, and now in his rookie year in the Cup Series, what a journey he's had. Could easily have 2 championships, but right now, he is 20th in the original standings, and I don't have the playoffs put up, but I know he's out for a fact. But he's put down back-to-back top 10 finishes, which is 3 in total now this season, 4 DNFs and 53 laps led. I can only go back to Pocono, where he out-muscled, I believe was one of the Joe Gibbs Racing cars at Pocono, led 10 to 12 laps in there. I want to say it's Kyle Busch for a fact. I think it was Kyle Busch. Byron's on a different pitch strategy, and Byron just out-muscled Kyle Busch, who's a constant top 5 threat every week, and leading laps on top of that. Byron going out there, getting the job done, in his first full year. And again, once again, is it too little too late? Going to have to find out here. And again, like I said, MIS is going to be a big question. And William Byron, I had put him in my fantasy the first time at MIS, and he came up big for me. Byron ran awfully well at MIS. It's only a matter of time. Go to this place a second time. And if they bring that speed at MIS, I don't know. I keep hyping it up. But if they bring that speed, it's going to send a message to the entire garage. But Byron, he showed awfully some good speed the first go around at MIS. And I don't know, I can't remember where he finished at that time. But Byron, he was awfully impressive on that one lane track. So, you know, everyone wants to find that second groove, but it's been a struggle at MIS trying to get that second groove going. It's mainly a one groove racetrack, and key is speed. You unload with a fast race car, you can do some good things with that thing. So Byron, four races to go, coming back around the second track, second time, like a MIS, like a Bristol, even though it's going to be at night. And he won at Indy. He's won at Indy. So in the Xfinity Series, he's won on that same track in Indianapolis. So anything can happen these next four races. And we saw the whole Jeremy Kmetz thing last year, you know, being in the right place, right time, running well, and taking advantage when the opportunity presents itself. Well, I feel like Byron could be one of those guys to get it done and shoot himself in. But also, though, it's a double standard. If it stands where it is right now, Bowman is the last guy's in. So if Byron goes out and wins the race, you're knocking your own teammate out. So still, right now, you're looking at your best opportunity, three Hendrick cars getting into the playoffs. And of course, obviously, you can't go wrong with the combination Byron and, of course, first-year crew chief Darian Grubb, Mr. Two Tires, there out there. They're starting to get their job done. And Jimmy Johnson moving up the ladder, that 48, who's been a staple of NASCAR for so long, has been really, in my opinion, a non-factor. And even, you know, he's going through that long losing streak right now, longest in his career, still doing it. Of course, he pushed Chase Elliott when he ran out of gas. That was a great scene over the weekend, seeing that. And to me, in my opinion, I know Chase has only won one race out of 99 starts. And he has start 100 this weekend at MIS. But for me, it just has that feeling. You know, Jim, all that's, no matter what, you know, Jimmy Johnson, you love him, you hate him, or you don't pay attention to him. You know, what all Jimmy's done for the sport, you know, winning in different type of chase formats, whatever, winning a ton of races, you know, being up there in the top six in the Cup winlet, when the list of drivers who are winning, or actually say the list of drivers that are above 75 wins in the up. Johnson, you know, Chase Elliott, obviously the racing heritage of Father Bell and whatnot. I just have the feeling that, in my opinion, that it's a slow movement, but the torch is about to be tossed. That's just my opinion. Chase Elliott, it has been the best Hendrick car in the last 3-4 races. And this is what we kind of expected from Chase coming off of last year. You know, when you're rolling like that, coming close to wins, and really, you're a turn or a couple laps away from getting to Homestead and competing in the final four at Homestead for a championship, you would have thought that Chase Elliott rolled into a lot of momentum. But of course, he got collected, one of the big wrecks at Daytona 500 and such, and they're trying to figure out the Camaros and whatnot. This is their first year trying to figure things out. This is like kind of a Stuart Haas thing. You know, even though Stuart Haas, tomorrow, the new unveiling of the Mustang in Detroit will go down tomorrow, so that will be fun. But this, you know, and in the playoffs, all of a sudden, bam, you know, Harvick was up in the mix, running well and turning the corner also. So you gotta wonder, Chase Elliott now having so much momentum. Gonna have to see where it stands. And I have a great comparison Now, also, that I'm going to save for the stage, so I'm going to keep that to myself until tomorrow, where I'm going to share with y'all more about Chase Elliott and what this is going to do in NASCAR standards. But back to Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson's sitting 14th right now. Again, this is the quote-unquote original standings. Only 2 top fives all year, 7 top 10 finishes. Not even in double digits yet. Only, as I look on this list here, 16 laps led. Ouch. And the DNFs that I'm looking at here, actually 7. Yeah, 16 laps led. Yeah, 3 DNFs. And we have seen, every time we see the 48, every time we see this 48, they talk about pit road mistakes. So, you know, they got to clean that up. And we talk about the playoff points all the time. And these guys do not have playoff points. So, this is going to be really interesting. If this holds, Jimmy's going to be back down the bottom of the list with a whole lot of other drivers who don't have playoff points. That being said, his teammate Bowman doesn't have playoff points. Who else don't have playoff points in here? Larson don't have playoff points. Yeah, that's right. Kyle Larson doesn't have playoff points. That was taken away. I thought he did win a stage. That was back in KC. That race I was at earlier this year. They taken that away for some reason, but can't remember what it was. But that's going to be interesting if it were to hold up. You know, you talk about wanting playoff points during the regular season to have any chance to move through these rounds. So this 48, you know, I know everybody say you can't count the 48, can't get them out, they're dangerous, you know. But, you know, I'd be more afraid of Chase Elliott right now than Jimmy Johnson right now. I'm just saying that the proof on the track sets for itself, folks. That's what I'm saying, you know. Chase Elliott right now up there running against the big dogs right now and putting it to them while Jimmy Johnson is still trying to find his groove. I know they've been running a lot more better consistently in the top 10, but I'd be more worried about scared of the 9 right now than this 48. I know the 48 can strike at any time and whatnot, but I haven't seen it, and I'm not going to go on that train yet until I see it on the track. And when speaking of being scared, woo, if Chase Elliott continues this this charge here late in the second half of the year, he's going to have huge momentum. We'll see if we can get another playoff point, win another stage this weekend, and start 100 for Chase Elliott, handing Rick Hendrick win number 250 in his NASCAR Cup career as an owner for Rick Hendrick. Chase Elliott has made a huge charge. He was, 13, 14 in original standings? Now he's 11th in original standings, looking for that extra point. Remember, the top 10, for those of you who don't know, in the original standings, get added bonus points also. So 10th is 1 point. But the way that Chase is running right now, he might hit double digits anyways. Chase Elliott has 8 playoff points, made a huge jump to 5th, I believe, in the playoff standings right now. Hitting the MIS, Chase Elliott right now, looking at his statistics, has that win over at the Glen. 6 top 5s, 11 top 10s, 3 DNFs, and he has now led over 100 laps this season, 108 to be exact, Chase Elliott. So, all the talk has been on Chase Elliott, and he definitely deserves it. And what I said to Big D late in that race, when Mark Trez Jr. was really gaining on him, starting to track his ass down, Chase going to have to earn it if he is going to finally grasp that first victory, and he definitely earned that. So, but now the question is, can he sustain it? Not only that, but I know they got a lot of work to do, yes, to get up there constantly with the big dogs. And like I said, MIS is going to be the ultimate test here to see where this whole entire organization is. You know, and also Chase broke some 37 race winless streak. That's going back to last year when Jimmy Johnson won at Bristol, the spring race. That was the last time Hendrick Motorsports won a race, all the way back to last spring. And Elliott finally puts the clamps down on that. So, you know, we're closing on playoff time, and You gotta be right at the right time. And again, Chase Elliott was right at the right time last year, set off that crazy run through the playoffs. Unfortunately, he got the famous move him out of the way by Hamlin. It wasn't for that. Who knows? Chase Elliott would have got one last year. Should have won last year. Who knows? But things didn't turn out his way. But the Glenn last weekend, things did turn out his way. And Chase Elliott, well-deserved, the most popular win up to date. I mean, we had Clint Bowyer win this year. That was a fun win to see that happen. Bowyer finally breaking a long-ass winless streak. And then Chase Elliott finally getting his, and everybody's, the whole world seems to be happy with that. We'll see if this is a start of something here. You know, this is kind of mirroring, if I want to include inject for a second, Kyle Larson finally breaking through at MIS in his third season, and it set off kind of a hot streak for Kyle Larson. Unfortunately, ended in the postseason, but I'm interested to see how Chase does. I mean, can he and this team sustain it? I think they can. And obviously, let's not forget about the crew chief for Chase Elliott. How about Alan Gustafson? I don't think he gets enough credit, in my opinion, personally, about the job that he's done for Hendon Motorsports. He is crew chief, what, four drivers, Big D? In a stint of, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. And he's led Jeff Gordon to Homestead. He's led Mark Martin to victory lane. He's led another driver to victory lane. I can't remember who now. Chase Elliott to victory lane also. So this cat, this Alan Gustafson, woo-hoo, tongue twister. Alan Gustafson, he knows how to he knows how to get it done. And I think he's unappreciated by a lot of people. And he put another driver in the victory lane. He stayed with it indeed of hard times, but Alan Gustafson stayed with Chase Elliott through the good and the bad and the ugly, and look at where it got him now. Chase won on his birthday, no matter the less. So, oh man, my goodness, numbers, and obviously the number that also stands out is 8, you know, 8 second place finishes by Chase and his father, Bell, before their first respective wins. Chase, of course, breaking the streak sooner than his dad did. But my goodness, I don't know what to believe. The numbers speak for themselves. And right now, MIS, right now, we're headed there this weekend. And we'll have to see if Hendon Motorsports throws the gauntlet down. Obviously, the talk this year, let's not forget, it's been the Big 3's been kind of been put to the back burner thanks to this Chase Elliott win. But let's not forget about, you know, Harvick, Rowdy, MTJ, these guys. You know, if Chase Elliott, say, he's got some work to do. Yep, that's for sure. But he's shown, though, in the last couple of weeks, though, he's passed Truex in green flag conditions, passed him or held him off at the Glen, and he's passed Kyle Busch numerous times, too. So, but I'm interested to see how he races against Kevin Harvick in this game. Can he be more of a consistent player as we approach the regular season finale in Indianapolis? We'll have to see. That's going to be the biggest question of the weekend. You know, all the praise, but hey, I think, you know, for what it is, I mean, I thought that Chase Elliott won the Super Bowl. But seriously, I'm not trying to knock the guy or whatever. Hey, he's from Georgia, and again, I'm going to explain a little bit more deeper in the Stage Weekly Edition here coming up this week also prior to the weekend. But you would have thought that he won the Super Bowl. Especially, you know, Ryan Blaney surprising Chase Elliott or whatever he's planned at Dawsonville. Crowd, big-ass crowd waiting for him. That was a good scene as well. That was one of the great scenes of the year. People, friends, family at Dawsonville waiting for their rising star, Chase Elliott, to get home and meet him with cheers and all other stuff. So that's awesome. but man, we got a lot of racing to go. And you got to turn around and race at MIS. So again, we'll see how he fares coming off his first win, Chase Elliott, his first victory in his Cup career. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be must-see TV, ladies and gentlemen. That's for sure. Three wild. EG3 continues. Eddie Greer third. That's going to be a wrap for Hendrick Motorsports and their continued rise here after a slow start to the season for Rick Hendrick and his crew. But if this is a win, if that jolts some momentum, then we're about to find out how big that is. But of course, Byron's been running well. Bowman's been putting down consistent finishes. Jimmy Johnson's been running a little bit better. We'll find out. Big question. I'm telling you, folks, stay tuned. MIS. Follow me at, you guys can follow me at Twitter at 3Wide_FastEddie. Again, at 3Wide_FastEddie. And of course, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and of course, iTunes. Rate it, review it, like it, whatever. And if you do have time on your spare time, you can leave us a review as well. That will definitely help us as well. And as usual, Big D is on cue. That's right, folks. Spread the word out about 3Wide. That definitely helps us out as well. We've had some great episodes as well. Remember, the other thing, join the movement on 3Wild EG3. You don't want to miss any of the exciting action. Like last weekend, you don't want to miss a moment because a blink of an eye, something is going to happen, just like last week with Chase Elliott finally erasing the demons and getting his first Cup win. I want to mention real quick before we sign off tonight that I was supposed to be doing an interview yesterday, but for setting up for Thursday, but it did not happen. We had to reschedule due to the driver was dealing with, I'm trying to keep this deep in the secret, the driver was dealing with a bit of a hard time family issues wise, so definitely keep the driver in y'all's prayers. And but we are rescheduled though for the 21st to have an interview, and we were rewarded with another bonus as well on that same day. I can't reveal that. I was told not to say anything, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to hold that driver promise. It's not saying anything. That's going to make you stay tuned to the show for sure. So definitely we'll have an interview, bonus interview coming up in a couple weeks. And then after that, we are going to be making history. I'm going to leave it at that in one of the interviews at the end of the month as well. Definitely pumped up for the interview at the end of this month. So keep it here. You better stay tuned to 3Wild EG3. You don't want to miss an exciting moment. So I'm going to leave it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, Big D, let's wrap this thing up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it for this edition of 3Wild EG3 Pit Road Edition. Tonight, talking momentum in Hendrick Motorsports. I think they got it right now. Heading in to MIS. Thank you, Big D, for hanging out with me tonight. As usual, Eddie Greer Third, saying thank you for tuning in to tonight's episode. Remember, stay tuned. Next time I'll be talking to you guys is, of course, the weekly stage break. And I already let the cat out of the bag for that one. I'll talk Chase Elliott and possibly talk about the Mustang and maybe another topic that I want to get off my chest as well as we approach MIS weekend. Trucks Cup going down at MIS this weekend, the Irish Hills and the Xfinity Series. Back-to-back road course races at Mid-Ohio, where special guest Bill Elliott will make an appearance in the 23 machine. Cannot wait to see what Bill does in that race car. But for now, garage is closed on 3Wild with EG3. Big D, let's roll on out of here. Thank you guys for listening to 3Wild. We will talk to you next time on 3Wild with EG3. You know what it is. We out. Thank you.